listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray continues our series and teaches us about God's kindness and how we can also be kind to others through the gospel. Here's Pastor Ray.
I know of no more powerful, beautiful display of God's loving kindness than what happens in this church through the ministry that we call Royal Family Kids Camp. And I want to say thank you to the current and past leaders, Jason and Angie Mitchell and Lorraine Zumwalt and Jeannie Gergen, all the past leaders as well, all the current and past volunteers that have been a part of this, hundreds of people over the years, and all of you who have given financially to make this possible. You are God's hand extended to these kids, and it makes a difference. And I can tell you this, that this touches God's heart in a very deep place. I know that for sure. And this makes a difference in the lives of these kids, both now and for all eternity, I believe. What an investment that this is. And here's something else that, you know, when the world doesn't like us very much as the church, they don't like our message, they don't like our worship, they don't like our preaching, they don't like our morality, they're not high on us right now. That kindness, loving kindness, is the Christian's currency that will buy the favorable attention of the world. When they won't listen to anything else, they will sit up and take notice when they see our kindness on display. So thank you, thank you, thank you for doing what you do, and let's keep up the good work. And today, speaking of kindness, let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit that is known as kindness. And I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, and we're gonna read it again this week. We've been in this series now for several weeks, And today we want to talk about this particular fruit. Interestingly, when you look at this ninefold fruit, really it's indivisible. It is not nine separate fruits of the Spirit, but it is the fruit of the Spirit that has these nine different facets to it. But when you look at it, it can easily be divided, even though it's not meant to be divisible, easily divided into triads. Love, joy, peace really relate to our attitude that we have toward God. Kindness, goodness, and faithfulness have to deal with our relationship, our posture toward one another. And then faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control have to do with the interior life. Now, again, this is an indivisible fruit, but this is just a different way to look at it. So today, we're going to talk about the fruit of kindness. And I want you to read this with me, if you would. Let's together, out loud, in your home, wherever you're watching this broadcast today, let's say this together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So what is kindness? Let's unpack that today. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, I told the crowd that gathered for our online prayer service this story that happened just the day before. I was on my way home from the office, and I needed to stop by the store. I needed just a few items, and so I pulled into a store, not normally one that Lynn and I shop at. We normally shop at the Fred Meyer near our home or the one near the church, and I pulled into a different store this time. I'm not going to tell you which one it was, and I wasn't familiar with their social distancing protocols. So I walked into the store. I had my mask on. I picked up my four or five items, and I went up to the cash register, and I stood in the little circle waiting for the person ahead of me to get through before I loaded my items onto the cart. The woman ahead of me was probably in her 30s. She was an attractive young lady, and she was obviously very pregnant. And as she was getting her grocery items through, the cashier was checking her out, and they were putting her bags into her grocery cart. I then began to put my four or five items onto the conveyor belt. I had four of those items on, and I was ready to put the fifth one on when the clerk turned and saw me, and he said, "Stop! Stop! You can't do that." And it was almost as if I had my finger on the bombs away button of the nuclear football. He was so animated with it, and I just kind of recoiled. It kind of shocked me. It scared me. And so I stopped. And when I stopped, and after he had said that, this lady kind of wheeled around, and she said, "Can't you read the sign?" And I was like, "What sign?" And then she said, "And I saw you going down the aisles in the wrong direction, and I'm pregnant." And then she took her card and she walked over to a store manager who was a few feet away. And she began to rehearse what I had, all of my indiscretions. And she began to tattletale on me. And she was pretty animated as she did it. And I saw the clerk and the store manager, he kind of looked at me with that look of, "I've got to listen to her right now, but sorry, dude, we're going to have to go through this." She was very, very upset. Well, I got to tell you that the fruit of kindness was not sprouting blossoms in my heart right then. But I chose to be kind. I was very proud of myself. I chose to be kind in the best way that I knew how in that particular moment. And so I apologized and I moved on. And then whatever reward I had for being kind, I'm sure I lost when I got in the car. And on the way home, all the way home, I began to mentally rehearse the conversation that I wish I would have had with this woman. And I got to tell you that that conversation was not very kind, not very kind at all. Obviously, I have some kindness cultivating to do. And I suspect that a few of you do as well. Interestingly, kindness in the Greek language is the word krestos, kindness. Jesus used that word in Matthew chapter 11, verse 30, when he talked about how his yoke was easy and his burden was light. The word for easy is that same word. It's krestos, and it means sweet, easy, mellow. Interestingly, it is just one letter different from the Greek word for Christos. Christos means Christ. Krestos, kindness, Christos, Christ. And in the first century, Krestos and Christos were often confused, which led the Romans to think of Christianity as simply those who believed in kindness, followers of Jesus who believed in kindness. And so Christianity was tagged as the kind religion. And in reality, that was true. Their kindness was so palpable and so compelling that by the third century, this upstart religion, this sect of people known as Christians, had literally won over the Roman Empire, an empire that had been bent on extinguishing them, exterminating them, now fell to Christianity because of their kindness, the kind religion. That's the power. That is the power of Christ-hearted kindness, the kind religion. Wow. What a thing to be confused with. Which begs the question, have you ever had your Christianity confused with kindness? Do people confuse your faith with kindness in your home, in your marriage, in your neighborhood, in your place of work, in your school? Do they confuse your faith in Christ with kindness? See, this isn't just a minor issue, friends. It is the heart of our faith. And at the cellular level of Christianity is love in action. And the nucleus of love in action is kindness. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, in response to all that God has done for us, let us outdo each other. Let us outdo each other in being helpful and kind. In other words, we are to engage in a competition of kindness, if you will, a competition of kindness with one another. So what would that competition of kindness look like? What would that be in our world today? Well, Jesus said, I have set an example for you that you should do as I have done, that you should do as I have done for you, John chapter 13, verse 15. So what did Jesus do? That's what we're to do. We're not just to acknowledge it in word or in thought, but we're to do that in deed. Whatever Jesus did, let us do that as well. And that is kindness. And so I want to give you three examples of God's kindness to us through Jesus, because once you see it, it's obvious how kindness ought to be expressed through our lives, how we ought to lavish kindness on others. So three examples. So first of all, Jesus modeled kindness by understanding our weaknesses. He modeled kindness by understanding the weaknesses that we live with. You see, understanding and kindness go together. If you don't understand someone, you're gonna have difficulty being kind to them or sustaining kindness to them. The more understanding you are of another person, the kinder you're going to be to them. You know, when people rub me the wrong way, when they've done something to me, when they have an attitude toward me, when they've been nasty or unkind or mean, if in my better self, I just stop and I try to find out what is going on with them, what is giving rise to this behavior, I will often find that that there's something there that's hurting them, and therefore they're hurting me. As I've often said, hurt people hurt people. And when I understand that, it's a lot more for me to return their unkindness with kindness. Now, my wife is a great example of this, just being understanding and kind toward people. Often we have been on a flight, an airplane flight, coming down out of altitude and getting ready to land when a mother who has a young child has this awful experience of the child beginning to scream bloody murder because their ears are trying to equalize to the new altitude, to the new pressure. And you can just tell that this mother, often a new mother, is just beside herself, worried that the other people around her are going to be very angry with this baby that she can't do anything about. And I'm often at that point thinking, why do airlines allow young parents with babies to fly anywhere? They ought to be at least 5 years old before a kid is able to get on a flight. But my dear wife, Linda, will often turn to that mother and offer to help and say, you know, when our kids were little, if we put a bottle in their mouth, that helped to equalize the pressure in their ears and they'll stop crying. And she's so kind and she's so patient toward them. And when I see her do that, then I'm rebuked for my attitude, my unkind attitude toward those people. You know, one of the simplest yet most powerful forms of kindness is simply putting yourself in another's shoes, to put yourself in their shoes. And that's called empathy. Linda is able to do that with these young mothers because she's been there and done that. She knows what they're going through. She knows how to be kind to them. Empathy. It's an amazing skill. It's an important skill that we develop in our relational lives, the ability to empathize. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 is such a comforting picture of Christ's empathetic understanding of us. Listen to what it says. It says, this high priest of ours, that's Jesus, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same temptations that we do without sinning, which is why we can expect his undeserved and practical kindness. He understands us. Jesus isn't shocked by your weaknesses. He's not put off by your temptations. He's not ready to write you off because of your failures. He doesn't love you any less because of them. Why is that? Because he's been there. He's been there. He's done that. He knows what it's like to be human. He didn't sin, but he knows the frailty, the weaknesses of humanity. And that's why he's an understanding mediator before God on your behalf. Thank God for that. Aren't you grateful that Christ understands what you're going through? So then, what does that say about how we should treat one another? Well, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, just as God through Christ has done for you, be understanding and kind to each other. Empathy leads to gentleness instead of judgment. It leads you to be helpful, not harsh. It allows you to be mellow, not mad. And that's the first way to practice kindness with people. Jesus is understanding and kind with you. And so if you will never treat another person any differently than Jesus would treat you, then you will always, always, always be kind to them. So that brings me to this question. Who in your life needs that kind of empathetic understanding from you? They may be in the room with you right now. They may be on the seat next to you. They may be across the room. It could be your spouse. It could be your children. It could be a sibling. How about a friend or a coworker, or maybe someone that you go to school with? How about your pastor? Who is in your life needs your empathetic understanding right now? Well, let me just challenge you in the spirit of Christ-likeness. Be empathetic and show kindness. That's the first way. The second way Jesus modeled kindness is by forgiving our sins. The ultimate act of kindness, wouldn't you say? He forgave our sins. That a holy God would extend forgiveness to undeserving sinners like us. What an example of kindness. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5 says, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not by righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us. The word mercy is interchangeable with kindness, loving kindness. Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, it tells us that all of us have sinned. And yet now God declares us not guilty of offending him if we trust in Jesus Christ, who in his kindness, freely takes away all of our sins. Simply because he is kind, God has wiped our record clean. We're not guilty. There is no condemnation now that we have put saving faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the core. That's the nut, the nucleus of the good news. And it is really good news. We have no condemnation if we're in Christ Jesus. Think about this. Even before you were born, the Lord already knew. He knew in advance all of the evil, mean, nasty things that you would think, say, and do. And yet he still created you. He allowed you to have life, knowing that you were going to do those things. He allowed you to be born, and he still loves you. He loves you. He loved you in advance, knowing what you would do and the kind of person you would be. And knowing in advance who you would be, what you would do, he even sent Jesus to die in your place. Wow. That is the kindness of God. And so that's why Paul in Ephesians 4:32, precisely why he said, be kind and compassionate, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Listen, you can take a giant step toward a harvest of the fruit of kindness in your life by forgiving people who have offended you, simply by letting go their offense that they have committed against you. And again, another assignment for you, that is your assignment today. Go down your list of people who have offended, estranged, or been strained in their relationship with you. Just go down the list and simply, unconditionally, fully, and personally forgive them, even if they don't deserve it, even if they haven't asked for it. Forgive them. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 6, verse 35. He said, love your enemies. Now, what's the deeper meaning of that? What does the Greek mean when Jesus said that? Well, it here's what it means. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great because you will be children of the Most High. You will prove yourself to be a child of the Most High because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Now listen, there is no greater witness, no more compelling witness of God's kindness on display through your life. There's no more compelling witness than God's kindness on display through us. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 asks, can't you see that God's kindness is intended to turn you from sin? The same could be said of our kindness toward sinners. It shows people the kindness and the love of God that is intended to bring them to repentance. When we show kindness to the undeserving, what a powerful, compelling witness that is. Makes me think of a young man in our church by the name of Brett Bell. Brett's married, has three beautiful kids, and works downtown, and God really touched his heart to begin to reach out to people that are in the midst of all of the upheaval in the downtown corridor. And so he called me up and talked to me about an idea that he had, and I encouraged him to do it if he felt God was calling. And so he's begun to go down and just to pray with people. He's prayed with police officers and federal agents, and they've responded amazingly to him. And he's served them communion, and they've gladly accepted it. Now he's praying, and he's witnessing to protesters. And he is just living out God's kindness by going into the den of lawlessness, as it were, and being an example of God's kindness. And people are beginning to respond. They're beginning to ask questions. They're beginning to explore faith because of Brett's example. No more compelling witness than when we display God's kindness to the undeserving. God's kindness. And then third, Jesus modeled kindness by affirming our worth. He modeled kindness by affirming our worth as his creation. Listen to this, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. It reminds us that God raised us up from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Another place in Ephesians chapter 1 says we have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all that he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. Another translation says, we are God's workmanship. The Greek uses the word poema, poem. We're God's poem. We're God's work of art that he created when he created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we could do good things that he planned for us long ago. What is our worth in God's sight? We are his workmanship. You know, deep inside, all of us have an insatiable desire to feel worthwhile, to feel worthy, to feel worthwhile, to be significant, that if we were to die, somebody would miss us. We want to live a life of meaning. And so much of our lives is spent in search of that. And that's why we do what we do. That's why we go out and excel in a sport. That's why we try for the A in school. That's why we jockey for a promotion. That's why we buy a big house or drive a new car or wear the latest fashions or get the latest toy or go for that adrenaline rush. But here's the truth. The truth is that no matter how much money you make, no matter how much success you achieve or how popular or famous or powerful you become, that won't matter until you discover how much you matter to God and base your worth on that. You've got to know how much you matter to God. That becomes the source, the basis of your worth. Listen, if that weren't true, you would have been satisfied with the first A that you got in school if you ever got one. You would have been totally satisfied with the first car you had or the first new set of clothing that you had or the new house that you had. It would have been totally satisfying if this weren't true. But those don't satisfy. Only God does. How much do you matter to God? How much do you really matter to God? Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Even when we were sinners still, God loved us enough to send Jesus to redeem us. That's your real value. That's your real value. You were worth dying for. How incredibly valuable is that? You were worth dying for. That's the foundation for feeling good about yourself. That and nothing else. And then, what a gift of kindness it is when we affirm the God-given worth of others. When we do what Jesus did for us, when we affirm the God-given worth of other human beings. Romans chapter 15, verse 7 says, accept one another just as Christ has accepted you. Just as Christ has accepted you, we are to accept and affirm one another. So how well do you do that? How well do you affirm other human beings? How well do you affirm the worth of the people in your life? Listen, if God gave you a dollar for every time you affirm someone and then took a dollar away for every time you criticized or marginalized or rejected someone, would you be a rich person or would you be poor? Would you be rich or would you be poor? This kind of kindness, the gift of affirmation, can change the lives and even the eternal destinies of the people in your relational sphere. It has that kind of power. There's an author by the name of Chris Kerr who told of a time in high school when he was walking home, and it was on a Friday, and he saw another student who was carrying all of his books in his arms, taking them home, all of them. And Chris thought, who in the world takes their books, all of their books home on a weekend? Well, right about that time, another group of kids ran by this other kid, and they swatted the books, and they went flying all over the place, and they tripped the kid, they pushed him, and as he fell, his glasses went flying. And he looked up with tears of sadness in his eyes, and he began to crawl around looking for his glasses. And as he did that, Chris said his heart went out to this kid. And so he found the kid's glasses. He put them back on his face. And he said, oh, those guys are such jerks. They just need to grow up. And with a big smile of gratitude, this kid looked up at Chris and he said, thank you. Thank you. Well, it turned out that Kyle, this kid's name, lived nearby. Chris had never met him before because up until that moment, they had gone to different schools. So Kyle had gone to a private school, and now he had switched to go to Chris's school as well. And so the boys began to talk on the rest of the way home, and a friendship was born. Chris invited Kyle into his life, and over the next 4 years of high school, they became best friends. And Kyle actually went on to exceed academically at the highest level, and he became very popular in that school. By graduation time, Kyle was even the valedictorian. And at graduation, in his valedictorian speech, this is what he said. Graduation is a time to thank those who've helped you make it through the tough years. Your parents, teachers, your siblings, maybe a coach. But mostly, it's a time to thank your friends. I'm here to tell you that being a friend to someone is the best gift that you can give them. And then Kyle told the story of the first day that he had met Chris. You see, he was carrying all of his books home that weekend because he planned to commit suicide. And he didn't want his mother to have to go to the school to clean out his locker. He wanted to spare her that additional grief. He was going to commit suicide. And he looked right at Chris and he said, thankfully, I was saved. My friend Chris saved me from killing myself. Well, everybody who knew Kyle was stunned. I mean, no one figured that this smart, good-looking, popular kid had ever experienced such a dark moment in his life. And Chris was stunned too, because he had never known what being kind to Kyle in that initial meeting had meant. He had no idea what his kindness had meant in Kyle's life. Never underestimate the power of kindness. Never underestimate the power of being a conduit of God's kindness to somebody else. The fact is, friend, God wants to use you today. He wants to use you today in the most powerful way. And the way, the path, the conduit to that is through kindness. So, be kind. Christos is Christos. Christlikeness is kindness. So put your love into action. Be kind and see what happens. Friends, I'll say it again. Your kindness is the currency that buys the world's attention, the world's favorable attention these days. Your kindness is the living proof of a loving God to a lost world. Romans chapter 9, verse 23 says that we were the objects of God's kindness so that he could display his glory in us and through us. Listen, think about this. Whatever realm you reside in, whether it's in your home or your neighborhood or your place of work, your school, on social media, your kindness is the living proof of a loving God to a lost world. And God is counting on you. I want to end with this paraphrase of God's promise to you, if you would get serious about this business of kindness. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 is powerful. It says, God is not unkind. He will not forget your kindness, which is really your love for him displayed in the kindness you show to others. Be kind. It's living proof of a loving God to a lost world. Let's pray. Just bow your heads and open your hearts and just receive this prayer, a prayer for God to empower us with his spirit that we might live out this fruit of kindness in our world. Allow me to pray for you in this moment. God, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ as they're hearing my words. as they're hearing your words through my message. God, I think we all probably are seeing a picture of the people in our lives that we need to be kind for, our spouse, our children, our siblings, our parents, our friends, our coworkers, our schoolmates, people in our neighborhood, even people in this city of Portland that are revolting against, they're revolting and creating this spirit of lawlessness in our inner city corridor. Lord, I pray that you would empower us today, in this moment even, with the fruit of kindness, with a commitment to be kind, and with this continual awareness that wherever we go, we're to be kind, we're to be a conduit of your kindness, and help us always to be aware that it is through our kindness that we become living proof of a loving God to this lost world. Help us. We thank you for that. We pray it in Jesus' name. Now, I want to talk to those of you who maybe have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You've never surrendered your life to him personally. You've really not become the recipients of the full measure of his eternal kindness in your life. Listen, that the verse I read earlier is so powerful. It says, don't you understand how patient God is being with you? He's been waiting all this time without punishing you to give you time to turn from your sins. Now listen to this. His kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. God has been kind to you. He's been patient with you. In spite of you not giving your life to him, in spite of you not being loving back toward him, he's been kind to you, hoping that kindness would draw you to him. And in this moment, I want to pray for you. I want to invite you right now, as I pray this prayer, that you would surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. Make him your Lord and your Savior. Allow him to forgive you of your sins, and that you would dedicate the rest of your life to living for him. Would you do that? If you would you just allow me to pray this prayer for you? And would you make this your prayer right now? Dear Lord Jesus, I want to pray for, I imagine, scores of people right now that are watching this broadcast that have never personally surrendered their life to you. They've never admitted that they're a sinner in need of your grace and your love and your kindness. Today, Lord, as they open up their heart to you and surrender to you, I pray that you would take their heart, and I pray that you would wash it clean from any sin. And in the place of that, would you just impute the righteousness of Jesus Christ into their heart. Make them clean, make them pure, make them holy, make them your children. Give them the right and the authority, the power to become a child of God. And Lord, from this day forward, would you enable them to live for you? And thank you, God, for giving them not only the gift of forgiveness, but the gift of eternal life in this moment. And now, Lord, I pray for these ones that have surrendered their lives to you, that they now would become a conduit of your compassionate kindness to those around them. Lord, thank you. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for saving. Thank you for eternal life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now may you go forth in the kindness and compassion of God.
Thanks again for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you would like to hear more teachings or find out more information about our church, please visit pcctoday.com.